Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Go ahead, ushers, if you would. And while you guys are collecting the offering, I'm just going to review a little bit here. We're talking about part two, Before the Foundation, is the title of this series, and it's about the parables of Jesus. I actually have never done a series on this before. I've read the parables, I've heard them taught about, but the Lord impressed me to do it, and anytime He asks me to do something that I haven't done before, it's always kind of a little bit of a curve for me. I have to, in most of my studying, when I study things or look at things from the Word, the upfront time is a bunch, okay? Because you're establishing, how many have ever done this? If you want to learn something new, there's always kind of a hesitancy in your mind about what you're doing because it's not familiar territory to you. So you feel a little bit of hesitancy about it. But once you start to dig into it and get it and you start to learn the routine, say of a new job or something like that, eventually you figure out and it establishes in you, hey, I can do this because faith comes by knowledge. Have you noticed that? And by proving and experience. Well, it's the same with the Word of God. So whenever I step into some of these things, I have to, it's not that I reject what I've heard about them before, it's just that I have to hear the Lord speak to me about what He's saying about this particular passage that I've heard before, that I've read before, that I've looked at before. Amen? And so, or you've heard other people teach it. How many of you've heard you have a particular scripture that you really like and you've gone to it for years and it really blesses you? But did you know that there is more understanding in that scripture than you knew from the first time you learned it? Okay? It's like this. Think about your kids. They understand the concept of money the older they get. One day, Kylie came in, I think it was on a Saturday, and she had worked or babysat all day, and she made some money, or the weekend. And she made like $160 or something like that. And she comes in and she goes, Dad, maybe it wasn't that much. Anyway, it was an amount. If her grandparents paid her, it was probably that much. Because they give an unrealistic view of what life is really like when you get into it. Okay, that's probably not fair. Okay, but partially true. Anyway, so she made like $160 or something like that, and then she paid bills or something that she had. And she goes, I only have $90 left. You know, and she's just, oh, you know. And I'm thinking, and I actually said this, you don't know the revelation of that yet. There's a greater depth coming. You have found a truth, but there is a deeper truth that is coming. And I said, think about it, Kylie. You're driving a car that me and Heidi paid for. She doesn't pay for it. She didn't pay the insurance on it. She does help with the gas sometime, but not even that. Okay, so we're covering that one too. I could annihilate her $160 in no time. But what does she have? She does have a level of revelation where she's at concerning that subject that is necessary for where she's at. And as she grows and develops, her faith will grow and develop, and she'll be able to handle more. Does that make sense? Now, there is a deeper truth in understanding seed time and harvest and bills and stuff like that that she has not touched yet that every parent understands in here. And I told her, I said, think about it, Kylie. You're not even paying rent yet. Yeah, yet. Yet is the key word. Because there's going to come a day. I remember when I left my house and I went to Bible college. And I had to pay rent. Now, I lived in a duplex with like four or five other guys. And so it wasn't a ton. But it was a new experience. You mean I have to pay for the heat and the water? You don't just get water? You know, what's up with that? You know, I have to put the gas in my vehicle. And so over time, you get a greater and greater understanding on certain truths. Well, it's the same with the scripture. And so that's what we're looking at here. And we're looking at, if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 13. We talked about three principles before. And in Matthew 13, verse 34 and 35, it says this, "All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world." Now, English Bible, it says this, "I will reveal secrets that have been concealed." I like that. "Since before the foundation of the world." In the Living Bible, it says, "I will explain mysteries hidden from since the beginning of time." So when Jesus came to the earth and he taught in his parables, he taught from a place of understanding before the world was here. Isn't that interesting? I mean, that'll trip your brain up. Because people think, what? It's true. And this is the interesting thing about this. The Lord planned out you before Adam was here. Now, that'll mess with your head. Because, you know, we're trying to plan out tomorrow. But God didn't go, this is why I don't believe that we're going to be taken out by global warming. I mean, other than when he melts it. I believe in that one. Or that somehow humanity is going to take out the planet, so to speak. I don't think we can, because the Lord's going to be the one that when he comes, he's going to fix everything and do what he wants with it. The other side of it is this. It's like in the 90s, I remember, you know, and at different points in my life, I remember, you know, we're going to run out of oil. And then we found loads and loads more of it. You know, or the global warming people, you know, we're going to cause the earth to overheat and we're all going to be underwater. No, that only happened once. And God did it. Or, you know, we got to go out into outer space and figure out all these different things because we're going to have to go to other planets. I do agree about going to other planets, but it won't be from our own. Come on. Come on, what do you think's out there? If people think, well, it's outer space, you know, what's the point? Well, God didn't, like, light be and no plan. They now have discovered, what, the universe is expanding quicker than we can ever catch up with it. Why? Well, God's unending. He's forever. He's, you know, people think we're going to die and go to heaven and we're all going to be chubby babies with harps, worshiping God with little stumpy wings. You know? No. I don't know if you notice this, but go ahead and read it in Genesis. God gave Adam a job before the fall ever happened. Oh, yeah. People think, well, I'm going to go to heaven and just relax. You're going to work. Can't wait till we retire. There's no retiring in the kingdom. Now, you'll never have to sleep. You'll never be tired. You'll never be wore out. You won't need to wake up in the morning and have a pot of coffee. You'll be eternal in your being. You won't have an ache. You won't have a pain. You will be genius on a level that you've not known. But I don't want to serve a God. We get done with all this, we do nothing. I can do nothing on my own. Right? That we need greater understanding in seeing this. We need eternal perspective. See, because God is functioning from a place and speaking his words out of no time. So when he said, by his stripes ye were healed, it was established before the foundation of the world was ever in place. The sacrifice necessary to redeem, the complete process, the plan to overcome the enemy was established before the earth was ever formed. Isn't that good? So that's where we function from. That's why we're weird to the world. Because in natural thinking, you're stuck here. This is all you have. You know, even if you're going through a tough time or it's a bad day, don't worry. There's not a whole lot of days here left anyway. And let me say this. This is the worst you'll ever experience. This is the worst hell I'll ever experience. Why? Because I've already passed from death unto life. I don't even have to go by and smell the sulfur in hell before I go to heaven. I just go. And when you understand this, then the temporary things that we're going through, you kind of go, eh. You don't know how horrible it is. I agree with you. Because we're made in the image and likeness of God and our whole nature can be affected by evil, it can feel totally detrimental. But if your perspective is eternal, then it changes your emotion. But it's what you feed off of. Amen? See, this is the thing about the Lord, and I refuse to believe anything else because he didn't demonstrate anything else, and my wife just preached on it to you. But that same power that raised Christ from the dead is enough to heal anything the enemy has done. It doesn't matter what it is. That is not a demeaning of what took place. Nor are we saying we don't care about the evil that has taken place. What we're saying is if a perspective shift in your mind does not take place, where you remove yourself from your identity with what the devil has said or done to you to a place of what Christ has said and done for you, the full healing that is potentially there in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ will never be reinforced into you. You can't experience it. And listen to me, that healing is not just physical, it's in your soul. Come on now, there is nothing that the Lord didn't conquer. So what do you mean by that, Sean? What I mean is this, is that the depth of revelation or understanding in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is what Paul prayed we would see. Not only see, but then also experience. So you need an understanding. Yes, there needs to be a transformation of the mind. But then when the transformation of the mind or the mind lines up with the spirit, what takes place is a opening up of the resurrection power within you. Then it can flow to the mind, the will, and the emotions and the physical body. And when it does that, you experience that resurrection. Then what takes place? You now become an open conduit of the resurrection. In other words, you begin to advance the kingdom of God. You advance the kingdom of God. And now when you step onto the scene, wherever you're at, you are now an influencer and carrier of the kingdom. You're not motivated, you're not destroyed or brought down or entangled by the enemy in his stealing, killing, and destroying through fear, worry, confusion, and the things that he has established. But you walk into the situation having overcome those things in Christ, being a dispeller or a dispenser of the kingdom. You have divine seed on the inside of you. And you can function from that. And that's what Jesus was doing. And that's what he was telling us here. He's saying, look, I know I'm not like you. I'm like you in flesh, but in spirit, I've never been touched by sin. And so this is a demonstration of that. And I'm going to teach you from the perspective of sinlessness or righteousness. And when you get taught from the perspective of sinlessness or righteousness, this is why the renewal of the mind is so important, because we're so used to sin understanding. We're birthed into death. I know that sounds weird, but it's true. That's why we have to be born. Do you see that? So then you're raised by people, even your precious parents. You love them. And even we as parents, where we're at, we've made mistakes with our kids. And you say, do you try and hide those things? No, I just tell my kids, you don't want to do that. That was dumb of me. I'm serious. I do. I just tell them. Why? They're not going to be mad at me about it for the rest of their lives. Why? Because I confessed. Then if they do, it's on their head. Well, that's hard. No, that's truth. That's the truth. You think I'm going to sit around and think about all the things my parents have done wrong? Are you nuts? I don't want to be on Dr. Phil or Dr. Doolittle or any of them. I don't want to be on Oprah. I don't want to be on any of that. Besides that, For all the light my parents had, they did it. There's no sense thinking about it anymore other than take the good, chunk the bad, and don't repeat. And I'm going to do the same thing with my kids. Take the good, chunk the bad, and don't repeat. You're going to do better than me. Why? Because my goal is that they go further. Amen? So with the Lord, it's the same way. We have to have this understanding where we're functioning from a place of righteousness in our mind, and that takes transformation or the transforming power of the Word. And we talked about three different things. We talked about the parables and understanding in the parables, and we talked about three specific truths that were very important to that, and I'm not going to review them because we don't have time, but you can go back and you can review them by listening online or watching the video if you want. Let's go to Matthew 13:1. You should be in Matthew 13. And I want to dive into the parable of the sower this morning. We got about 20 minutes here. And we'll look at some truths that I believe will help us. The parable of the sower, Matthew 13:1. And now what I'm going to do is we're going to read over this. I'm going to read over this in one of the Gospels, in Matthew. And then I'm going to go through each type of ground by hitting the parable in the two others where it's mentioned in Mark and in Luke. And we're going to compare and look at what Jesus is talking about here. Because he made this statement, and we'll read it here in a second, but he made this statement. He said, this parable hits all the parables. In other words, he said, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand any of the parables. Okay? Well, that says to me we should probably start with that one. Okay? So that's how I think about that. But Matthew 13:1, it says this. It says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Verse 5, some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Skip down to verse number 18. Therefore, Jesus said, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who receives seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So what can we conclude from this parable? The sower of the word is the speaker. Okay? The sower of the word is the speaker, and in this case it's Jesus. The sower of the word is the speaker. The seed of the word is the word of God, or the seed is the word of God. This parable applies to every promise in the word of God. Okay? What's in the word? How far can we go in what's in the word? If the seed is the word, what promises are given in the word can be applied as what? The seed. Does that make sense? Okay? If this parable doesn't hit every promise, then it doesn't hit any promise. Come on. Okay? So it hits every promise in the Word of God. There are four different grounds or soils represented here. We see that the soil is the hearts of mankind. The good ground is what produces 30, 60, and 100-fold in our lives. We are going to go through each of the four grounds and break them down. As we do, analyze yourself to identify where you're doing it right and where you might be limiting your harvests from the Word of God. See, this is going to reveal to us the Word of God is a mirror. Amen. So first, let's look. Go back up to Matthew 13:3, and I'm gonna bounce from gospel to gospel on these, and it might be hard for you to keep up, so you could jot it down. But Matthew 13:3, we're gonna talk about the wayside ground first. If you want to jot that down, the wayside ground. Matthew 13:3 and verse 4 says this: Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them." Now, the word devoured means to eat up or to consume. The word is used in Revelation 12:4 concerning the dragon or Satan who was ready to devour the child born of the woman. Jesus is the Word, and the Word is seed. Satan and his demons use the same tactics today. Okay? So, wayside and devour. Devour means to eat up. So, some seed is sown on the wayside ground, and the birds of the air come and devour or consume it. The word wayside, it means a path that you walk on. But it also means a course of conduct or a way of thinking. Okay? Now I'm going to hit that one. So keep that in mind. Wayside is a course of conduct or a way of thinking. So, a course of conduct or a way of thinking. This is important because to me, wayside ground is representative of a person who is not realizing the importance of what they are hearing. Your wayside. What do you mean by that? A course or pattern of thinking. It's the way you look at a situation. So if somebody comes to you and they say, "I have no peace in my life. I'm just struggling. I don't know what to do." And you share salvation. You share the seed of the word that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And they hear that and go, "Ah," their wayside. Why? The seed ends up sitting on top of the soil. We'll prove this even more, but it's a way of thinking. It's a course of conduct, okay? It's the way you handle the information that you were given. Do you remember 2 weeks ago when we talked about this? We talked about one of the key truths that need to be understood is how you hear the word. That he, you know, you sometimes you can read through the New King James, and I do it too, and you have to really focus and get in and hear from the Lord and look at it. But sometimes it sounds like the Lord is saying, "You can't hear because I won't let you." That's not what he's saying. He'll make the statement, "He who has eyes to see, let him. He who has ears to hear, let him." In other words, I've given you eyes and ears. What are you going to do with them? So to the degree that you are receptive is to the degree that how, in other words, it has to do with the condition of the heart. There are times that in working in construction, somebody would tell me something that they would do, and I'd be like, "Ah, I got it." And then I do it the way that I do it, and it didn't work as well. And then I revisit what was said to me, and I do it their way, and hey, that's much easier, and I sweated less. Do you see what I'm saying? In other words, I was wayside ground on the first go. But on the second go, I removed that rock. I removed that hardness out of my life. Well, I got these problems in my life. Well, here's a truth about that situation that the Lord has declared to you. "Oh, I don't know. I've tried that verse." Ooh, you got to watch that. That is a serious thing. That's a very serious, you got to watch that. You got to watch being, having an attitude toward the word like, "Oh yeah, I've read that one before." Ooh. You know, you kind of want to step away from that person just a little bit. Just in case lightning comes out of heaven, you know, let's go over here. Thank God for his mercy, amen. All right, Matthew 13:19. He's repeating the same thing, and I want you to see this. This is where Jesus explains it. So wayside ground means a course of conduct or a way of thinking. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Snatches means to catch away or to pluck, to pull or to take by force. Does that sound like devouring? Okay. Anybody got a clue about what the birds of the air are? Demons. Satan. Demons. Mark chapter 4, verse 3. You don't have to turn here if you don't want to, but just mark it down because this is the same parable right here. Jesus says, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside and the birds of the air came and devoured it. A little later on in that same chapter, Jesus explains it to the disciples and he says, these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And this is verse 15. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Luke chapter 8, verse number 5 says this, a sower went out to sow seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Now remember, wayside ground is representative of a course of conduct or a way of thinking. The word trample means to trample down. It means to reject with disdain. Do you see that? So this is where I'm getting the hard attitude of the wayside ground. This is where I'll read through these, and this is how truth is. Truth is, and Brother Hagin said this to it, it's like a mountain. You got to read the scripture, and then read the other account, and then read the account against that account, and then read the account that, and you got to do this around the mountain. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I stand from this angle, I see this truth. If I stand from this angle, I see this truth. If I stand at the top of the mountain, the bottom of the mountain looks different as if I stand from the bottom looking up. And so what you do with truth is you get the scriptures that speak to that truth and you walk around it. And what God does is he forms a pillar of stability within you that has an impenetrable faith within it. Because it's the word. And that's what he's doing here. He's saying they trample it down. If they trample down that seed, they reject it or disdain it. In other words, seed came by and the ground or the heart of the person went, what's that? I don't need that. And the enemy went, let's go get it now. Boom, boom, boom. And it's gone. Does that make sense? Okay. So trample means to reject or disdain. It means to tread down. Doesn't that sound like a path? What's this seed doing here? I don't know. Let's keep walking. They don't recognize what it is. Luke chapter 8, verse 12, the same passage, but where Jesus explains it. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The potential for believing and salvation is in the word. But because it was disregarded, because it was treated with disdain, then the enemy comes in and that potential now has left. Now, it doesn't mean it's left their whole life. It's just in that instance. Does that make sense? Okay, so the birds of the air represent Satan and his demons. They are after one thing, and that is the seed of the word of God. Do you know the demons are not really even that interested in you? He doesn't care about you. He could care less about you. He's interested that God's word doesn't spread. Okay? Wayside ground is representative of a person's heart that is hard and unreceptive to the word of God. Any word. We see this by the fact that it is stolen through lack of understanding. I do not believe this is because the person is incapable of understanding, but rather uninterested in understanding. Did you hear that? It's not because they're incapable of understanding, they're uninterested in it. Don't talk to me about that religious stuff. Another reason why I believe this is true is because we see in Luke's account in verse 5 that the seed was trampled down, and you do not trample or disdain what you value and care about. You don't. You don't trample it. You don't disdain it. You don't treat it as unimportant. The enemy can devour a person's salvation because of a lack of care for God's word. Good ground, listen to me, and this ties into another parable. Good ground will sell everything they have for the pearl of great price. Good ground will do that. Because good ground will go, oh, there it is right there. Well, you got all this land over here. I know, sell it now. I need that one. Come on. It'll sell everything out. This is doing what? This is laying down your life for the kingdom. I'm after one thing. What is it? You should see what I found. I found a seed. And inside that seed is eternity. Come on. You can plant that seed and it'll grow up into a tree and the birds of the air will come. And what? Rest in it. You ought to be a haven for people to come and find shade in salvation. Because you've respected the word of God. Amen? You've respected that word. Okay, so just because someone hears the word of God does not mean that they understand it. Listen to me. Nor does it mean that they want to. Now, I'm going to make a statement here that is going to come hit the other side of an argument or a truth. Not because I'm against what I'm about to say, as far as what I'm just trying to bring balance to this, okay? Obviously, we as the body of Christ are called to be ministers where we're at. We're ambassadors for the kingdom of God. But let me help you with something. Just because somebody receives a miracle from God does not mean they will be born again. Come on. They rejected Jesus when he did miracles. Don't think they won't reject you. You're not more anointed than him. Come on. Well, I have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Yeah, but you don't have the whole one. You are not equal in the sense to Christ, the head of the church, in anointing. You understand that, right? And here's a man who stood, Jesus did, he stood in all five offices. Apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. I mean, he is it all. Okay? Now you have enough to do, and not only you have enough anointing and plenty of anointing, obviously, to overcome anything that the devil tries to do in your life. And as God graces you and has anointed you, you can be an impact wherever he has contact with you. But let me help you with something. You ain't the savior of the world. You're not. I can't even go to the grocery store and get groceries because I might miss somebody who's not saved. Oh, you think God can't figure you out and that situation out? You know, I know people that can't even go anywhere without praying for 90 people through the line. Because why? And you're saying that's wrong. No, no, no. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying you better be led. Because I know people that are under condemnation constantly because they pass somebody that might go to hell. Is that how Jesus demonstrated to us? We have to be led. We have to be led. We have to be led in these things. And people say, well, you don't think God's going to move all over the earth? I know he is. I know, I absolutely know he is. I know he's moving all over the earth right now. But that does not mean people will receive him as the Savior. It doesn't. They have a free will. I think sometimes we get this impression that when revival happens and a move of God happens, that all of a sudden everybody will just change how they are and they'll all come flocking in no matter what. But you know what? I don't have one example of that in the New Testament where you didn't have persecution in accordance with the move of God. The enemy is going to continue to work. We have free will, which means what? God's going to move and do his part. We're going to move and do our part. We're going to agree with God and do our part. But some people are going to reject it, but we're not going to get depressed over it. We're just going to walk in the joy and the goodness of God and keep moving forward. Amen? Okay, so And I'm not saying you shouldn't pray for people, and I'm not saying you shouldn't have, you know what I mean, that you shouldn't be a light and a witness wherever you are. I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is any truth can be taken to an extreme, and if you don't hold it in balance with the rest of the word, the enemy can begin to use that to bring condemnation to a person's life. Okay? And people do have different calls. Amen. People, you know, I never sit around and feel depressed that I'm not doing what Jesse Duplantis is doing. I don't. Why? Not my call. Frankly, don't want it. Go get him. Go get him. I don't worry about those things. Why? I have to do what God told me to do. You have to do what God told you to do, and you need to rest in that. If your desire or your moving forward to do what God has called you to do comes from a sense of, you're not hearing from the Holy Ghost. Because faith is a rest. Yeah, but what if I pray and I serve and God showed me things in prayer and I never see it? Praise the Lord. You are just like the men of old in the scripture who saw what was going to come but never got to participate in it. But we do because they prayed. Do you see that? So the rewards and the things that we desire to see. You're saying we won't see it. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just trying to bring balance to it. Okay? Because otherwise we can get out of balance and it can easily happen. All right, let's cover the stony ground and then we'll call it. How about that? Matthew chapter 13, verse number 5. Jesus said this. He said, some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up. So this produced something, okay? Because they had no depth of, but they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. Verse 6, but when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Skip down to verse 20. But he who received the seed, this is Jesus explaining it to the disciples, on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. So there's a receptivity and there's joy there right away. How many like it when you share Jesus with people and they're like, oh yeah, that sounds pretty good. Okay? Verse 21, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. The word tribulation means pressure and trouble. It means pressing together. Well, I received the word, but I got a bunch of pressing and trouble too. You're biblical. Bless you. Persecution means to pursue with the intent of removing. Isn't that good? That's revelation right there. So I'm going to read this in Mark chapter 5, or Mark chapter 4, verse 5. It says, some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Verse 16 in Mark 4 says this, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. The word stumble means to trip up or to offend. Hard people are offended people. In other words, stony ground. Luke chapter 8, verse 6 says this, some fell on rock, and some as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Skip down to verse 13 in Luke 8, it says this, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. Do you see that? So what do we learn from these passages concerning stony ground? Like the sun does to a plant who has no depth of root, so tribulation and persecution do to a Christian with no depth of root. There's no depth. Why? What does that root need? Soil. Why does it need soil? Because soil holds moisture. Do rocks hold moisture? How many have been watering your rocks? You need to stop. Don't bother watering them, okay? Because they're not going to hold moisture. Now, how many have seen a tree grow through a rock? Why? Because it's got soil under it. So you can grow through the persecution and the tribulation. You'll be fine. But you have to have root in your heart. You have to have soil, not stone. Okay? So stony ground or stony ground people can be people who receive the word with joy. Notice they receive it with joy. It can look like they are going to go far in the Lord. But the real first test comes when they experience persecution and tribulation. Persecution and tribulation reveal depth and quality of root, which is also a revealing of soil and moisture content as well. Persecution and tribulation reveal the depth of who you are. People say, well, God authored it. He doesn't have to. The devil's here. He doesn't have to author it. Why does he have to be the author of it? Just because it happened on the planet doesn't mean it was God's fault. I'm going to give you a revelation which you already knew. Most of what's happening on the planet that is outside of God's will is our fault. Because we decided to eat from a tree that we weren't supposed to. People say, that's not fair. Yeah, it is. Thank you, Lord. It's actually more merciful than you realize. Just because you see something springing up in someone's life is no sign that they have root. Fruit that jumps up quick can be a sign of no depth of earth. No earth means small root system, which translates to very little endurance. Isn't that good? I know it's taxing too. It makes you go, oh yeah, what about that? Stony ground lacks moisture because water doesn't sit in rock. It absorbs or sits in dirt. Lack of moisture leads to a weak root system. If we fall apart like a $2 suit every time pressure comes or persecution hits, then we lack quality in earth and moisture content. We lack quality in earth and moisture content. Stony ground, like wayside ground, still has too much hardness in it. More attention needs to be paid to the condition of the ground. Stony ground people are those who hear the promises of God. They receive and get excited, but through tribulation and persecution, the enemy is able to get these people offended at God. I believe stony ground people make statements like, I know the Bible says that, but I tried it and it didn't work. Come on. You might as well say, God, you are a liar. I tried it and it didn't work. You're telling me God didn't make good on his word. Now, this is where new doctrines are invented. Well, it must not be God's will. Well, it's probably not. Come on. Do you see this? You've got to watch this because the enemy is good at this. He's really good at it. If he can get you focused and twist your thinking into an image that God is your enemy instead of your salvation, or that he is somehow different than what he said about himself in the revelation of Jesus or his word, then he can rob you of your faith. Even if you receive the initial promise with joy, he can come by and go, oh, that was easier than I thought. There must be some rocks in here that I don't know about. We have to watch and guard against that. What does that mean? Pick rocks. What do you mean by that? Don't let your persecution that you're going through or your tribulation that you're going through develop. Don't let the enemy throw stones in your garden. Pick them up and hit him in the head with them. Throw them back. How many have noticed the devil does that? He's very that way. He will come by you and you're not even thinking about necessarily anything. And all of a sudden a thought will come into your mind that's directly from him. And you know what that is? That's the enemy going by going, there's a garden, looks pretty good. Throw some rocks in it. And then you need to go out there as the tender of your garden. You're the one that's in control of your heart. I said, you're the one that maintains your soil. Nobody can maintain it for you. You have to maintain it. It has been gifted to you by God as a person who is on the planet to be able to have a heart that could or could not receive the word of God. You have been graced to be able to open up and produce 30, 60, and 100 fold. Depending on your attention to the word and not treating it in disdain, and depending on keeping other things out. Just wait until we get into the cares of this life and the desires for other things. Because there's a whole lot of Christians that know the promises and believe them, but they have desires for other things, and those desires are weeds, and they choke out the word. And you cannot blame God. You can confess 100-fold. But confessing 100-fold and treating your garden and the maintenance of it in carelessness will lead to confusion. The potential for 100-fold harvest is in every promise if we will maintain the ground. I'm not telling you that, like, you take different passages and stuff like that. I'm not telling you it's 100 times. It's 100-fold. What does 100 speak to me of? Fullness. Full peace. Come on. Think about it. Full joy. Full love. Full blessings. Full strength. Full endurance. Full patience. Fullness of the plan of God for your life fulfilled before you go on to heaven. Full manifestation of the gifting that God has placed within you for business, music, come on, what art, whatever it is, fullness. Why? I tend to the ground and I plant the divine seed. Then I water that seed and I make sure the enemy doesn't get anything in the ground. When the devil throws a rock in your garden, throw it back at him. Nope, that's not available. That's not welcome here. I don't take that. Well, it's a difficult situation. Don't study the rock. Just throw it back. Okay? If you want to write a note on it first, you can. With perfect hatred from child of God. You say, perfect hatred? Yeah, David said this, I hate my enemies with a perfect hatred. I only have one enemy. Well, maybe he's got some buddies with him. But it's demons and Satan. My battle's not against flesh and blood. Amen? Come on. 100-fold in your kids, in your family. Woo! Would you stand? Thank you, Lord. God's good, amen? Every word from God carries great potential. This will help you in this, okay? And I'm going to repeat this again, but I feel like it's so important. The problem is never the seed. It is never the seed. The problem is never the seed. It's never the seed. The seed is never. Yeah, I know you said it. I know I'm saying it again. And I'm going to say it again. The problem is never the seed. Do you know, I've seen this happen. I think we did it in school, but then I heard farmers talk about it too. They'll take seed and put them in like a wet napkin or something. And see how many of them produce or germinate. You seen that before? You put all of God's seeds. You just take a sample of them. And lay them in a wet napkin. And come back and visit them. They all germinate every time. Every time. God never, will never, has never, ever delivered a seed that did not have resurrection germination inside of it. He never has. He has never failed. It is never his fault. He is not our problem. I won't even let my mind go there. You're not the problem, God. Well, it hasn't changed yet. Shut up, devil. Well, that's how you live? Uh-huh. Have you done it perfectly? Uh-uh. When will you release your faith on that? When will you, you know, move on to something else? When I see the full manifestation. Does that make sense? Well, what if that's 2 years from now? I'm going to be here anyway. You're not planning on going to heaven in 2 years, are you? I mean, outside of Jesus returning. Yeah, I mean, that's my only, I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm like, I say what David said. I want this written about me. He died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. Well, you can't claim that. I'm in a better place in my righteousness than David ever was. Amen? Do you see that? That's our hope. That's our future. That's our direction. And we want 100% of that. Amen? Father, we thank you for today and we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are so good to us. Father, you're good to us. You're good, good, good. Your seed has never been the problem. It will never be the problem. And we won't accuse you because you're not guilty. You are perfect. You are faithful. So, Lord, I pray for the eyes of our understanding, as we have and continue to, that we will receive understanding about your word. And as we do, even more and more, we will be doers of what we see and not hearers only. Lord, because we know there's accountability with seeing and understanding. And Father, we will attend to your word and attend to our hearts in order to bring forth good fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. We thank you, Father, for your promises. We thank you for your faithfulness. And we thank you for your truth. You are good, and your mercy endures forever. Father, thank you. We bless you and we praise you for today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.